What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. Today's episode of the Coach's Compass, we got a good one. This is like my favorite stuff to talk about. And typically when I do this on like the nutrition side of things, I always tell clients, this isn't going to be the dopamine producing sexy conversation that you probably want to hear. This is not a how to lose your next 10 pounds of fat conversation. So I can tell you as a coach, this is not going to be the sexy dopamine producing conversation that you want to hear. This is not a how to get your next 10 clients. So if you are somebody who is really focused on the tactics and you're like, just tell me the script. Tell me what to post on Instagram. Tell me the exact thing I should do in my Facebook group. You're going to be disappointed. And likely, I'm not the best person to listen to for you. Just throwing it out there, out of the get-go, just so we're on the same page. Now, this is something that these principles have transformed my life, transformed my business, transformed my relationships, and it's something that I will carry with me truly till I'm no longer here. Like, that's, this conversation is that meaningful to me. And I love talking about this stuff. I love sharing this stuff, but I also recognize it's not for everybody. So I wanted to make that very clear from the start. I think that every coach needs to hear this, but that's my opinion. I'm not going to assume that my opinion is right. This is just the way that I feel. I believe that every coach needs to hear this. So again, this may not land. You may be searching for the secret sauce and the tools and the tactics and what do I say when I get a sales objection? And, how do I get people to engage with me on Instagram? The irony is once you learn these principles and you apply them, all of those little things get so much easier and they also make more sense. It's kind of like seeing things from a much different lens than you've seen them before and expanding the way that your mind processes things from not just from a business perspective, but really for life. So the reason why I'm sharing this is because I wrote something recently about a fundamental shift that I made to change the trajectory of my business. And that shift was questioning all of the things that I was taught. So it really, had a huge impact on me. And just opening my mind to all the things that I thought were correct. And, you can certainly appreciate this from your own perspective, because I guarantee that when you first started as a coach, there were certain things, or even as a client, even on your own journey. I know when I first started, it was cardio is how you lose weight, right? I didn't know any better. It was 1200 calorie meal plans. It was carbs are evil. Eat as little as possible. Fasting. I definitely had a phase of fasting. I went through a whole quality does not matter phase. It does not matter the quality of the food that you consume. All that matters is how many calories you're eating. And I was prepared to die on that hill. So you've probably already experienced some of those mind expansion belief shifts, but this is more, we're going like a layer deeper. This is about learning and processing and applying and taking certain fundamentals and principles to your business and to your life. And I think if you can absorb it in the way that I'm going to lay this out, I think that it will be very impactful. This is like, at a certain point in time, I'm gonna share like this whole crazy story from like start to finish of like how this all came to be. My nutrition coaching business, which is still going strong, to my copywriting business, to the email collective, which by the way, it's officially 3 weeks. 3 weeks in to the email collective, the 5-minute email collective. There are 260 coaches that have already signed up. 3 weeks. And there's no sign of slowing down without any paid advertising, by the way. I'm looking to start, but I've run into a little snafu. Facebook decided to shut down my ad account without any, like I literally was not running ads when they shut down my account, did not give me any heads up, didn't tell me why, didn't tell me that it was happening. And here's the best part. There's no opportunity for appeal. There's literally, I can't contact support. It redirects me back to the same page. There's nothing where there's normally like a click here to appeal. That button is gone for no reason. No heads up. I wasn't even, how can you violate ad policy when you are not running ads? That I would love to know the answer to. But anyway, and the coolest part about the collective is that word of mouth has been huge. I mean, the testimonials after 3 weeks, it's crazy. Coaches who are like, well, email's never worked for me. And then they're like, oh, I just signed a client from email. I've gotten more replies from using one of these templates than I ever have doing this on my own. Message after message after message. And I'm going to share at some point this entire start to finish journey. But the thing that I want you to understand and take away from this is, a year ago, 2 years ago, this would have never happened. And it's because of what I'm about to share. So, all the things that I questioned along the way, some of them I've talked about on this series, podcast series, The Coach's Compass, which more coaches need to listen to this, like for real. So, help me spread the love. Share this with your fellow coaches. But the things that I questioned about marketing and sales were the things that just felt misaligned. Being told that you have to post really vague content to get leads. Like you got to cast this really wide net, leave people curious, make everybody comment, and then you like message all these people and try to sell them. I did that for a long time. It sucked. Even the clients that I enrolled through that method. Again, I think it's important to understand when we talk about things that work, it's very similar to a client saying that Optavia worked and then they gained all the weight back. Just because you got a client from a method does not mean the method worked. Now, here's what I will say. If I say like cold DMing doesn't align with me, but there is a coach out there who truly loves the game of cold DMing, that's amazing. That's like somebody like I could never live the lifestyle of a low carb or keto person. That could never be part of my lifestyle. Just like cold DMing could never be part of my lifestyle when it comes to business. If my business was purely dependent on cold DMs, I would not have a business. That's almost what happened. So when I say things like that, I'm talking about it from a perspective and an opinion, not as a generalized statement. I'm not saying that cold DMs don't work. I'm not saying that if you enjoy it, I'm not saying it can't be sustainable either. I'm just saying it did not work for me. Even getting clients that way didn't work for me because it was the equivalent of gaining the weight back, and the types of clients that I was enrolling were not the types of clients that I wanted to work with. So that was the first thing, questioning the fact that I had to be very vague in my content just to generate a bunch of messages. Questioned that. I questioned the whole sales process after investing a ton of money in learning all the scripts and the objections and never taking no for an answer and all the shit. Dig the pain, make them feel horrible. And it's funny with that, like questioning that, you know, really allowed me to go deep into the psychology of it. And it's interesting to me that the psychology of making somebody feel really bad about their current state, people make decisions for two reasons, to run towards pleasure or to run away from pain. So obviously the dig the pain strategy is we want them to run away from their current pain. And so the theory is if I present their current pain and I make it sound really bad, like really, really bad, they're going to run away from that and hopefully run into my arms, aka my coaching program. Because guess what? This is where you have your, you know, salvation, whatever it is. Like, run away from this pain, run to this solution. That is what I call away motivated. They're away motivated. Towards or pull motivated is the opportunity and the solution and the feel good emotions when they think about the pleasure. Very different context. Very different context. So what I learned was that selling in the away motivated frame produced a lot of non-compliance. And it's if you circle back to your clients that have not really followed through, haven't really done the work, I promise you there's a connection there. Go look at the way that you enrolled them, and I guarantee that you will find some answers in what and you'll see what I'm talking about. So anyway, I question that. I question the whole sales process. I question the whole content creation process. You shouldn't share how you do what you do. Question that whole theory. I started sharing in detail the process, the how, the thing that everybody, literally everybody I ever worked with, told me over and over again, nobody cares. They don't care how you do it. They just want their problem solved, which is so short-sighted. That is really the equivalent of it doesn't matter, just, you know, it's only calories. Nothing else matters. So it's like taking a sliver, right? Yes, they do want to know that you can solve their problems. They do want to know the outcome that you create. And in fact, you have to be really damn specific about the outcome that you create and the problems that you solve. But you know what else they want to know? They want to know how. And when I started including that into my content, shockingly, people started flooding to my coaching program. And you can see, you know, a lot of, you know, I do trainings, workshops, I write emails, I do these podcasts, and you'll see in the way that I teach, it's very similar. I'm trying to give as much information about the how, because I want every single coach, like, it's not a secret. Okay. So being 3 weeks into the collective and having as many testimonials as I do, same exact thing happened with my copywriting course, by the way. The same exact thing happened with my private coaching. All of this happened as a result of the coach having clear expectations of what they were getting. They knew how I was going to help, whether that was through the course, whether that was through coaching, or whether that was through the collective. They knew the how. They knew the how of done-for-you templates that you simply have to personalize for your audience and everything that's included. Now, this one's tough because if I rattled off everything that was included, it would take a very long time because I have to go through like 50 different resources, but I try to stick to the most important, like the 12 monthly nurture templates that you get that are deeply rooted in marketing psychology, the two promotional campaigns that will help you enroll new clients that are already working for the coaches that are using them. The landing page templates, the Canva templates, the ascension sequences, the challenge sequences, the webinar sequences, like all of the stuff. Again, I could keep going and talking about the CRM and how much money it's saving people and the fact that you get a fully functioning CRM with all of this stuff loaded in there for you. Or you can use these as external links like Google Docs, Google Drive links that you can plug and play into your existing CRM. All of that for $97. Like I obsessively talk about the how because I want to set clear expectations. And this has happened every step of the way. Program launches, testimonials come pouring in from the results. Program launches, testimonials come pouring in from the results. Sharing the how, once I started questioning that, was probably one of the biggest shifts in the way that I created content, the way that I did my podcast, the way that I did my emails, the way that I did, you know, social media. By the way, the nice part about all this is my social media sucks. If you follow me, more power to you. Now, I have launched a new account for coaches. And I'm like so close to launching this content strategy. I have no idea how it's going to work. But I'm actually going to talk about this in a little bit. This is just the pre-frame, by the way. but the bottom line is my social media sucks. I don't have to rely on it because all of the information that you could ever need about what I do and what I offer is outlined in my emails, outlined on my podcast. Social media is just a luxury. And so many people are living and dying by social media, and it's really flimsy. Like I mentioned, my ad account being shut down for no freaking reason, just out of the blue. We had a Telegram issue where Telegram just deleted 112 people from my chat. Completely random. I have a client who lost her Facebook group. Completely random. Can't get it back. Can't get her Facebook back. I have another client whose Instagram has been shut down. Another colleague who has a huge following whose Instagram has been down. Can't get it back right now. I mean, it's so flimsy. But you don't have to do that when you rely on email. And you're able to deliver all the information that you need in that format. Really creates a lot of freedom. I just started questioning these things. Do I really have to post to social 7 days a week? Is it life or death? Is my business going to suffer? All these things that I questioned. And then I actually learned the mechanism of like some of this stuff, some of the thinking patterns, decision-making frameworks, and just how to get what you want, I think at the end of the day is the best way to place it. All right. So there's certain principles. The first one that I'm going to start with is the classroom versus reality. And by the way, I think it's important to also recognize that we all, every single one of us, stand on the shoulders of the people who have kind of paved the way. And I think we live in a, I think a lot of times we try to make the story a lot more glamorous than it really is. I am self-made. You're probably not. I figured this all out on my own. You probably didn't. Somebody probably helped you along the way. And I think that it's important that we recognize that. So I have a mentor. His name is Nick Peterson. I have another mentor. Her name is Laurel Portier. She's a very new mentor to me. Nick and Laurel actually partnered on a mentorship program that I joined recently, very recently. But Nick has been a mentor of mine for the past couple of years. And a lot of the thinking and philosophical frameworks that I've adopted, and again, put some of my own flavor to it. But I think it's important that we recognize that we're all standing on the shoulders of people before us and, you know, mention that. It doesn't take away from the story, right? Like the fact that I've had some wisdom that I've absorbed through another person who's paved the way, like just recognize it. It's okay. It's okay that you're not self-made. I think sometimes we try to come up with this like glamorous spin on a story when just the real story is good enough. So anyway, the first concept is the classroom versus reality. In the classroom, things are very set. In reality, things move, right? And it, a way for a coach to conceptualize this is like, when we talk about like maintenance or something along those lines, a lot of times the client perspective is that it's like this set and, you know, structured thing. And we know as coaches that it's dynamic, that things are constantly moving. And I think sometimes we forget that in business as well. Things move. In the classroom, they're stagnant, but in life and in reality, things are constantly moving. So you might hear some research on something. You might hear about a study. You might have a client send you a study. And then you're like, yeah, but it's actually a lot more nuanced than that. You know what I'm talking about? And so it's the same thing with business. You might hear certain things and you might take them at face value because they sound really good. But in reality, things move. And then we also have to understand individual indexing. What individual indexing means is that a lot of times you'll hear people talk about averages. The average male in the US is 5'9". Well, do you know how many people don't fit that average? So individual indexing says, even though this is average, this might be horribly wrong for you. So like imagine for nutrition, if it was like, hey, we're just going to give protocols based off of the average man or woman, that would be a horrible plan for most people. I'm going to just buy you a t-shirt that fits the average man, 5'9". I'm going to buy you a t-shirt that fits the average woman, which I think is 5'4". Well, that might be a horrible fit for you. You might be the lucky one that maybe, you know, we threw some shit at the wall. But like in the classroom, we often talk about averages. In reality, it's important to understand individual indexing. By the way, this frustrates me more than anything else in the business coaching space. The business coaching space is full of people who want to talk about this works, this doesn't work, this is the right way to do it, this is the wrong way to do it. And they completely ignore individual indexing. Even right now, as I'm having this discussion, there is a chat going on in my collective Telegram group, which is also, by the way, a wonderful resource for people in there. And the question came up and was like, what do you guys do in your Facebook groups? Curious, just want some ideas, which is a fabulous conversation. Every time I see a conversation like that, I'm always thankful that I have these principles and frameworks running in the back of my mind, because I think sometimes we see, oh, this worked really well for this person. Or somebody says, this totally flopped for me. And we're like, oh, damn, I can't do that now. Well, your business is completely different. Your audience is completely different. Your Facebook group is completely different. So the important thing is understanding individual indexing. Just because Facebook Lives, for example, didn't work for one person has no bearing on what that will do for you. Just because this framework worked really well for you doesn't mean it's going to work well for the next person. Individual indexing. Then we have to look at ensemble probability versus individual probability. So if I were to say, you know, group probability, you have a 83.33% chance of playing this game and winning $1 million. Group probability, sure. Let's play the game. You have that's great. Individual probability, well, I have to find out, like, is this game Russian roulette? Because if I play it six times, I'm dead, more than likely. My individual probability of playing that game repeatedly, right? So we have to understand a lot of people really struggle with probability. And they don't understand expected values. They don't understand risk management. And it's interesting because they'll bet big on a business coaching investment that's tens of thousands of dollars without understanding individual probability and worst case scenario. And then they'll look at a safe asymmetric bet where there's a very high probability of success, individual probability, because you can actually look at that, like, what's the worst case scenario? What is this going to cost me if everything fails? Like, the expected value is not the value you expect. And a lot of times we don't really understand that. I didn't understand it for the longest time. When I first got into Facebook ads, this was how I lost a lot of money on ads. Because they gave me group probability. On average, we deliver a 2x ROAS, which is return on ad spend. So all I could think about was, hell yeah. If I put $10,000 in, I get 2x ROAS because that's the average. Well, give me that $20,000. I put $10,000 in, I'm getting $20,000 out. Let's scale this bitch. Individual probability. That didn't happen. That did not happen because I failed to look at worst case scenario is it doesn't work. And now I'm out the 10 grand, but then do I have to keep paying? How long do I have to keep paying? What if it doesn't work? So now all of a sudden, the worst case scenario was a significant risk to the downside. So I've got the upside probability of 2x. I've got the downside of a significant loss. And the expected value is somewhere in the middle, probably. And I think that, you know, I can use my own products as an example, but like with the collective being $97, the absolute worst case scenario, well, typically we have to assess first and foremost, how many expenses can you immediately get rid of? So most coaches come in and they're spending money on a different CRM. They're spending money on Calendly. They're spending money on DocuSign. They're spending money on different forms and things of that nature, or lead tracking softwares and things like that, ClickFunnels, whatever else. So immediately, you might already be at zero downside just from the expense side of things. If not, then your worst case scenario is $97. And then we look at the upside of, number one, you need a CRM, no matter what. If you're going to be in business, you need a CRM. So really, realistically, your worst case scenario is not technically 97, but theoretically, you could have a CRM for cheaper. So whatever the difference is between the cheapest CRM based off of your contact list and the $97, that's now your worst case scenario. But your upside is significant in terms of how much time it's saving you, how much money it's making you, right? All of that stuff. And then the value, expected value is different from the value you expect. So the actual middle ground is somewhere pretty safe. But a lot of times coaches will look at this crazy, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. I did this so many times. Like, trust me, I made this mistake so many times because I didn't understand this. There's a reason why I structured the offer. There's a reason why my price points now are very calculated. And the coaches that see it are like, yeah, of course. I'm either immediately saving money from day one, or I'm pretty close to break even from day one. And I know that I need this, plus with all of the resources and everything, like I know this is going to save me time, save me money, make me money. And there's a significant upside there. So it's playing that safe bet where there's really like we've mitigated this. This is like one of the best things that you can do in your business is mitigate the downside. Sometimes you have to play defense. Everybody wants to set PRs. Everybody wants to hit their best revenue month ever. When you have holes in your business, you're very susceptible. You're very susceptible to following up your best month with your worst month. Being able to plug the holes and play a little defense and raise the floor is one of the best things that you can do. So when you can find a way to mitigate that downside, it's a huge asset in your business. Okay, so next we go to time and randomness. I'm sure you've heard me talk about this. In the classroom, we don't account for time and randomness. In reality, time and randomness are undefeated. Think about the people who had the best laid plans, right? In the classroom, they put together this financial plan, this business plan, and it looked just picture perfect in the classroom. And then they launched it in 2019, and then 2020 happened. And we know what happened to a lot of businesses. Time and randomness. Random shit happens. You put together the best plan. This is going to be a calorie deficit. You are going to lose weight. This is going to be the perfect macro plan. And then fight with the spouse, loss of a loved one, get sick, get injured, gym shuts down, have to find a new place to work out. Now that place is 30 minutes away, adding commute time, adding whatever. You know what I'm saying? Time and randomness. In the classroom, you get rewarded for being valid and right. In reality, you get rewarded for being useful and helpful. Being valid and right, you get the right answer on a test. You score high on the test. Congratulations. By the way, this is how most people approach their dialogue in on social media and their content. It's like, I'm going to show you why I'm right. And if you are somebody like myself who has had that tendency in the past, you know that when you argue with somebody and you focus heavily on being right, you never win. You either feel really shitty or you feel really shitty, and there's nowhere in between. When you focus on being useful or helpful, people gravitate towards you because it doesn't matter. Like, this is my favorite. Coach on social tries to show why he's right, or she, why they're right about reverse dieting not being backed by scientific data. Right? So they're going on. I'm going to show you how this is not in the literature. Reverse dieting is not in the literature. I'm right. Let me show you why I'm right about reverse dieting. And then I take a client through a reverse diet and they feel better than ever. And they have amazing results. Body composition changes. Sex drive is back. They get their cycle back. They have more energy than they know what to do with. Who's going to retain that client? Who wins in the real world? The person who was right or the person that was useful and helpful? In reality, you get rewarded for being useful and helpful. I don't give a fuck what the literature says in that case. If you help somebody and you are helpful and useful, you win. You are more valuable. So the coaches can sit there and stomp their feet and scream till the cows come home. I'm right. Congratulations. Take your right information and help nobody. That's great. Or we can be useful and helpful and change a lot of lives. And if you want a great resource on this, go read Teaching Smart People How to Learn. Go read Teaching. You can, it's, in the Harvard Business Review Journal. You can find it online, I'm pretty sure. You can get a free copy. Teaching smart people how to learn. And you'll be like, oh, this is like every coach that I get frustrated with on the interwebs. You will see it. All right, let's move along here. Intelligence. Intelligence is, by definition, the ability to get what you want. This is a definition I got from a fellow member in my mentorship. This is a psychologist who's in my mentorship program, Dr. Todd, who says, intelligence is simply the ability to get what you want. And he was doing all these really interesting assessments, psychological assessments on kids. And the teachers would always have them come in for like kids who had trouble. And they would always question like their it was always about IQ. It was always about their ability to perform well in this one small section of intelligence. And so he did all this research and he found out that he kind of confirmed what he already assumed, which was intelligence can be being able to read people. Intelligence can be emotional intelligence. It can be artistic intelligence. Yes, it can be intellectual. But intelligence can be so many different things. At the end of the day, does it move you closer to what you want? So I really like that. If it doesn't increase your ability to get what you want, it hasn't made you more intelligent. If it doesn't increase your ability to get what you want, it hasn't made you more intelligent. And if it does, then it has. And I really like that simplified version. And then we have the definition of learning. Learning is when you have the same circumstance, but different behavior. Same circumstance, different behavior. So we all know those clients, right? Oh, I needed to hear this. Thank you so much. That was so helpful. But the behavior stays the same, meaning they didn't learn a damn thing. You can sit there and nod along. Yes, I agree. This is what I needed. But if you had the same circumstance and the same behavior, you did not learn. The bottom line, if you continue to behave the same, under the same circumstances, you haven't learned a damn thing, regardless of what you know. That's the caveat there, or the addendum. I don't think either one of those words was accurately used, but guess what? It doesn't matter. Regardless of what you know and what you can regurgitate, you didn't learn unless you changed your behavior under the same conditions. So if you continue to behave the same under the same circumstances, you haven't learned anything, regardless of how much information you can spew. And now let's talk about reasoning. In order to increase our ability to get what we want, aka intelligence, we must be able to change our behavior in certain circumstances, aka learn. In order to change our behavior in certain circumstances, we must actively engage in those circumstances with the intent of actively modifying our behavior. Right? This is, we learned this in school at some point, the reasoning method. Okay, so if this is taking the intelligence and the learning and reasoning them out, right? Listen. If you're still tracking with me, props to you. I absolutely love this stuff. I eat this up because it truly has had such a profound impact on my life and my business. And I will continue to go through this over and over and over again because it's just a love of this process that will never be done. And that's exciting to me. But anyway, so if we're going to take our, 12th grade, 10th grade, 9th grade reasoning lessons. In order to increase our ability to get what we want, aka intelligence, we must be able to change our behavior in certain circumstances, aka learn. In order to change our behavior in certain circumstances, we must actively engage in those circumstances with the intent of actively modifying our behavior. Now, the question is, how do we modify our behavior? Now we're going to get into a little bit of a tactical strategy that I really hope you apply. First, we have to engage the field. I shouldn't say first. That's kind of like the underpinning, right? Because if we know, we have to actively put ourselves into those circumstances to, with the intent of modifying our behavior. In order to modify the behavior, you got to do the thing. You have to engage the field. So many people just obsessed. Do you know any of those? And maybe this is you, but you, I'm sure you know these people. They read a book, then they read another book, then they read another book, then they ask for recommendations based off of those books, and then they read six more books, and they're like, I read 50 books this year. And it's like, what did you do? How did you apply anything? Well, I read. But did you change your behavior at all? No? Well, then you didn't learn a damn thing. I don't care how much you can recite from those books that you read. You didn't learn. You didn't engage the field. So there are certain rules when it comes to engaging the field. The only real data is your data. Let me rephrase, or let me state that again. The only real data is your data. I can sit here and tell you, social media can give you, 15% visibility on your profile. For every post that you make, it's going to hit 15% of your audience or whatever, some data point. You can tell a client, this 500 calorie deficit should help you lose 1 to 2 pounds a week or whatever. Doesn't matter, because the only data that matters is your data. If you're like, yeah, but I posted and it only reached 2% of my audience. Whose data matters? The one that I told you or the one that you found through action? Why is this missed everywhere? This is missed everywhere. I've literally had people who were doing a strategy that was working in their business, and they had a business coach tell them that their strategy doesn't work. Like, think about how asinine this is. I've had clients who, before coming to me, were doing a strategy that was working, and they had a business coach tell them that that strategy doesn't work. Whose data is more important? The theoretical thing that's already been proven wrong, or the thing that they're doing that has already been proven to work? Your data. The only real data is your data, and your evidence is greater than anybody else's opinion or theory. And that's, I talked about the reverse dieting example. Well, my opinion and my theory and my whatever says that your metabolism can't slow down. Your metabolism can't speed up. There's no such thing as reverse dieting or whatever the fuck else people say. Evidence trumps all of that. Your evidence is greater than any of that. Like, what are you telling me? I don't care if you're trying to explain nuance in the mechanism. It doesn't matter. Your evidence is your evidence, and it is greater than anybody else's opinion or theory. We got to stop looking at, well, I did really well with this thing, but now I'm listening to somebody tell me that it doesn't work. And you're like, well, shit, I better stop doing it. Well, why? Your evidence wins every time. You must account for time and randomness. When you are engaging the field, you must account for time and randomness. Meaning, we have to be prepared for unexpected shit to happen. And we have to be prepared for time to keep on passing. And the reason why that's important is because if you set these arbitrary timelines on yourself, you're no different than a client who's like, tell me how to lose 10 pounds in 1 month. Okay, so if you're like, I'm going to do this strategy, but it has to work in this exact way, in this exact 30-day window, you are not accounting for time and randomness. Here's another rule for engaging the field. The smaller the step, the more accurate, precise, and complete the data will be. You might have heard me say the word micro steps. I tell my clients this all the time. Micro step your way there. Just do the small thing, the one little tiny thing. You tell your clients that all the time, but you probably ignore it for yourself. Think about it. The smaller the steps, the more accurate, precise, and complete the data will be. If you have a client who is trying to get to the gym, they're trying to eat better, they're trying to get more sleep, and you change everything all at once, number one, you're not accounting for time and randomness. And number two, you're not really going to have very accurate data in terms of what's working and what's really not necessary. But if I change, if I micro step, if I have a client and I'm like, all I want you to do is swap out your regular soda for diet soda, and that's it. And then they start losing weight. Guess what? I've got way more accurate data from that micro step than from a complete overhaul. And I'm accounting for time and randomness. Same thing in your business, micro steps. And of course, the objective is to be useful over being valid or right. All right, so let's focus on how we put this all together. How do we increase your intelligence by engaging the field? There's a very simple process. 4 steps, but it never stops. So it's just a cycle, a flywheel, if you will. Can't see my hand going in a circle, but it is. So the first step is consumption. You consume, you absorb, just like you're doing right now. You're consuming information, whether you're reading it, whether you're listening to it, whether you are whatever, like whatever your preferred method of consumption, whether it's a group training call or a, you know, an email or a podcast you're listening to or a book that you're reading or an audio book that you're listening to, whatever it is, you're consuming. Now, step 2 is what most people skip, because typically what most people do is they consume and then they immediately try to figure out the answer. They immediately try to close the loop. Now you'll hear like with, I had a group call with my private coaching clients for copy. And I gave them this strategy. It's basically this psychological principle on how to turn freebie seekers into loyal customers. So taking somebody from like a free resource or a free training or a free session or a free whatever, and turning them into a loyal customer. It's just kind of like this psychological principle that I was teaching them. And I said very specifically, don't close the loop. Like, you have this understanding now. You get it? It makes sense. Don't try to figure it out though. Don't try to close the loop. What we do is we reflect. Now, there's different ways to reflect on it, but reflection is more effective when the loop stays open. Now, this goes against every urge in your body, because humans hate open loops. We hate it so much that we will literally binge watch Netflix for hours and hours and hours just to close a loop. Like, just tell me how it ends. Tell me who the killer is. Tell me what happens to the relationship or whatever. Right? Like, Netflix will get you on the open loop desire. So it's like it goes against every urge in your body. You hear something and you immediately want to go to Google or find out or ask for the answer. Just tell me the thing. Tell me what I need to do. And I am telling you, you have to reflect. You have to leave the loop open and reflect. Now, you can journal if that's your thing. You can reflect in a way that feels right for you. What I like to do is just go for a walk. I absorb something. I listen to it. Typically, I prefer listening. I really like to kind of do the, you know, AirPods in, let me listen to this thing, let me absorb it. And then I just go for a walk. And that time of reflection is super valuable. Not trying to close the loop, just trying to let it marinate in my brain. And then the third step is you engage the field. And engaging the field is the micro step. It's like, I did this one little thing. I put this one thing into practice, right? So I made this subtle shift, or I did this subtle thing, this one little micro step. I engaged the field. And then you reflect again, because now you actually have something to show for it. Here's what happened. I engaged the field. I put this into practice, this one little micro step, and now I can reflect again. So like the client, you know, I went a week without regular soda. I substituted diet soda. Okay, now let's reflect again. Before we do anything else, no other consumption, let's reflect again on that one little micro step. What did you learn? What did you find out? What is the data? Now we actually have data. Now we actually have data just off of that one little micro step. And now we go back to consumption. Now we go back to consumption. And then we reflect. And then we engage the field. And then we reflect again with more data. Consume, reflect, engage, reflect. I was going to see if that like created a little acronym, but it doesn't. And not a good one anyway. Consume, reflect, engage, reflect. Have you ever heard the saying, different man, different river? No man can step in the same river twice, for he is not the same man and it's not the same river. Something like that. Different man, different river. So if you read a book or you consume a podcast or you listen to a training or a workshop and it does what it's supposed to do, you're not the same person. Think about the books or the movies or the lessons, you know, that have really fundamentally had an impact on you. Like, man, that movie changed the way that I looked at life, or changed the way that I looked at blank. That book completely changed the way that I look at relationships or communication or business or whatever. Rocket Fuel was a good one for me. Changed the way that I looked at business, just from an understanding myself as a visionary and what I need from an integrator to kind of complete the picture. Changed the way, like, after reading that book, I'm not the same person. After going through my mentorship program, I'm not the same person. Different man, different river. So it's more valuable to go back to that same resource as that new version. And you'll be like, this is totally different than I remember. Because you're not the same person. It will hit you differently. The same text, the same audio, the same resource will hit you differently because you're not the same person. Again, like these people who go through 100 books, like more power to them, but take the profound, impactful one and read it again. And here's the forewarning. If you read it again and it doesn't hit you differently, it means you haven't changed. It means you haven't grown, and it means you haven't evolved. So consume. Consume articles, video, audio, other pieces of content. Reflect. Journal. Discuss with people. How does this apply to your world? Keep the loop open, go for a walk. I do this thing called a 6-word update that I also got from my mentor. 6-word update is, let's distill everything into 6 words. Kind of a form of reflection. What's going on right now? Now, the 6-word update can be something that is what's happening in your life or your business right now in 6 words, or it can be a reflection of what you just learned. So I could ask for a 6-word update based off of this podcast. Hey, if you're willing to share, send me your 6-word update of what, of your reflection of this episode. And you could say, you know, this did not land for me. Or you could say, I'm going to leave open loops, right? Like whatever it is, you can take this and you distill it. That's a form of reflection. You can journal, go for a walk. Then you engage the field. Then you take, you know, from your reflections, and instead of just knowing about it, right? Instead of knowing what to do, you do it, you become it, you test it, you try it, you take what you take the application of what you learned and you become it, because now we have actual information. And then we reflect again. Now, if you're in a coaching program, this is where you bring your findings to the table and you get feedback for further implementation. Right? So somebody comes to me and they're like, I took your, you know, whatever, belief shifting framework, and I put it out there to my email list. And here's what I found from doing that. Do you have any feedback? That is what a coach wants, right? You engage the field, you have data, you took a micro step. It was just one email, one micro step. Now we have more precise data just from a micro step. I didn't change everything. I just tested this one thing. Give me some feedback. And then we go back to the original source and we consume it again, and it will hit us differently. And then we reflect again. Then we engage again. And then we reflect again. You see how this works? I'm telling you this, it's everything. It's literally everything. So I'm actually getting ready to do a workshop tonight for everyone in the collective. I'm calling it the Identity Marketing Workshop. And really the objective here is to help coaches hone in on their messaging. When you dial in your messaging, there is, you know, it really can't be understated the way that that changes your approach to sales and to marketing and to business in general. And I'll give you a little taste of what I mean. So I had a client who's a private coaching client, and he submitted an offer email that he put together. So it's like, yeah, I really want to get some applications for coaching. And he had tried this offer email, and he was like, I'm not getting any replies. So he's like, this, you know, I sent it out and it's been crickets, but I really want to get some coaching, applications. So I, you know, asked for feedback, send me the offer, and immediately messaging was off. And I know his audience and I know his messaging. And I was like, dude, look at this. This isn't you. This isn't the message your audience wants to hear. Here are the little tweaks that you need to make. Now, we didn't scrap the entire offer. We kept, I would say, a good 90% of it intact. But there was these little subtle messaging pieces that needed to change. So he sends me a text yesterday. He says, thanks, you're a wizard. Those tweaks to that offer got 8 new people wanting info on coaching in the last hour. Ha ha. Like, it makes a huge difference. Huge difference. Even coaches who are just using the templates in the collective are coming in telling me, I've never gotten a reply from email. And then they're texting me saying, I just sent out my March email, the first one, and I'm already getting replies. This is crazy. I never get replies from email. Like, all this is happening. Somebody who just used one of Mike's templates, customized it, got a response on Sunday, booked her today, and closed 5 minutes ago. That's one more than I've ever closed from emails, LOL. Messaging. This is all messaging. But it would be really irresponsible of me to only provide templates without the support in mastering your messaging. And that's the purpose of the identity-based marketing workshop. It's to master your messaging, because I don't want the coaches in the collective to just do well. I want them to be unstoppable. And the reason for that is simple, because they can impact more people. They can reach more people that they have the expertise to help. And they're naturally going to share that other coaches need to join the collective. So it's a win-win all around. Now, the reason why I'm sharing about the workshop is because, unfortunately, there will be coaches who attend and watch the replay in the collective. This is just human nature. There will be coaches who attend who are in the collective who will listen or watch the replay. And they will nod along and they'll say, this is great. Thank you so much for sharing this. And they won't reflect on it. They won't engage the field. They won't do any of the small micro steps. They'll just say, I know this now, but they didn't actually learn anything. And they didn't get closer to what they want. Even though they know it because they listened to it, they didn't reflect on it, and they didn't engage the field to then get data to see what happens when I do this. And then I can go back to my coach and I can say, Mike, this is what happened. Any feedback? And then we can keep iterating and refining that process until they become unstoppable. That's just what happens. That's, you know, look, I'm telling you, it's not sexy. It's not exciting. I love this shit because I've seen it firsthand, and I was also resistant to stuff like this for a while, thinking that I knew better. I was, you know, because I'm smart. I think I'm smart. So let me just figure it out on my own. This changed everything for me and continues to. And I take this process very seriously in my own life. It's not always perfect. I have the tendency to want to close loops quickly. I have the tendency to just want to figure it all out right out of the gate. But I chill for a second. I recognize the feeling. I reflect on it. I engage the field. And then I bring that data to my coach. And then we keep going from there. So if you want to join that workshop, if you want to watch the replay, you got to be in the collective. It's also included. And I'm going to be doing these consistently in terms of trainings and workshops to continue to refine your messaging so that you can get the most out of the templates. Because the templates are great, but when you are able to use them with the messaging piece, where you know, like, I can hit the bullseye every time, truly unstoppable. So if you go to 5minuteemails.com, FIVE, minute emails, 5minuteemails.com. You can join the collective. $97 a month. You get a full CRM if you want it. You don't have to use the CRM. You can use the external drive and links to plug and play the templates into your existing CRM, but you'll likely save money because it has every single bit of functionality that you could possibly need. So you can get rid of a lot of unnecessary expenses, but most importantly, you have a whole done-for-you email system, and you have access to trainings like the one I'm doing tonight, where you can start to really dial in your messaging to your audience and just hit the bullseye and literally become unstoppable. That is, if you are willing to consume it, reflect on it, engage the field with it, and then reflect again and continue that process. If you are, you will be blown away by how much can change in a very short period of time. And I'm proof of that, trying to pay it forward. I know that this was a little more, I don't know, a little more philosophical than anything else, but hopefully there's some stuff that you can take away in there. If you enjoy this, let me know. It really does mean a lot to me when I hear from coaches in particular from coaches who listen to the show because I don't have a big coach audience and I'm trying to slowly and steadily grow it. I don't have a deadline because I'm putting time and randomness on my side. I have plans. Part of my content strategy that I briefly mentioned for my new Instagram account, and I'm not going to shout it out yet because I want some actual content on there. I put it out to my inner circle. I've got like 300 followers before I've even done anything with it. But this is part of that process. Like I mentioned, the strategy is part of this process. This is my first engage the field step. So I've consumed something. I reflected on it. And then my content strategy that I am beginning, that I have, the micro step was putting the content together and then engaging the field is like actually delivering the content. And then I will take that to my coach while we reflect on the data and then go back through this process all over again and continue to refine it. So anyway, you'll see that in the future, but if you want to join the collective, if you want to be a part of something pretty damn special, go to 5minuteemails.com, FIVEminuteemails.com, and you can enroll. And hopefully this was helpful, and I will talk to you very soon.